This morning's scripture reading comes from the 15th chapter of the Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter 15, verses 1 through 3, then we'll pick up in verse 11. All the tax collectors and sinners were gathering around Jesus to listen to him. The Pharisees and legal experts were grumbling, saying, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Jesus told them this parable in verse 11. Jesus said, "A certain man had two sons. The younger son said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the inheritance.' Then the father divided his estate between them. Soon afterward, the younger son gathered everything together and took a trip to a land far away. There he wasted his wealth through extravagant living. When he had used up his resources, a severe food shortage arose in that country, and he began to be in need. He hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into the fields to feed pigs. He longed to eat his fill from what the pigs ate, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired hands have more than enough food? But I'm starving to death. I will get up, and I will go to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer deserving to be called your son. Take me on as one of your hired hands.' So he got up and went to his father. While he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was moved with compassion. His father ran to him, hugged him, and kissed him. Then his son said, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer deserving to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Quickly, bring out the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Fetch the fatted calf and slaughter it. We must celebrate with feasting, because this son of mine, which was dead, has come back to life. He was lost and is found.' And they began to celebrate. Now the older son was in the field. Coming in from the field, he approached the house and heard the music and dancing. He called one of the servants and asked what was going on. The servant replied, 'Your brother has arrived, and your father has slaughtered the fatted calf because he received his son back safe and sound.' Then the older brother was furious and didn't want to enter in, but his father came out and begged him. He answered his father, 'Look, I've served you all these years, and I've never disobeyed your instructions. Yet you've never given me as much as a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours returned, after gobbling up your estate on prostitutes, you slaughtered the fatted calf for him.' Then his father said, 'Son, you were always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we have had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found.'" This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. There are certain passages of Scripture that have become so familiar that they have titles of their own. The Beatitudes, the Lord's Prayer, the Good Samaritan. Today's Scripture reading is often referred to as the Prodigal Son. But is that really a good title for this story? It's a story about a wayward son coming to his senses the hard way, but is that all it's about? Maybe. It might even be how the younger son sees the story himself. Maybe he would prefer the title simply be the prodigal. After all, he tells his father he doesn't even feel worthy to be considered a son. Some say the older son is more the focus of the story. He certainly seems to be hot and bothered by getting upstaged by his baby brother, for whom he could probably think of some other names, less flattering names than the prodigal. The story does seem to offer more narrative on his perspective, especially the juicy details of what baby brother might have been up to. Is this story a call to the big brother in all of us to be more forgiving, less condemning of those who want to come crawling back after they crash and burn? What if we try to see this story as being about the certain man who had two sons, the father? Nothing is said about the exchange between him and his youngest son when he asked for an early distribution of the family's inheritance, only that the inheritance was divided and his request was honored. How did Dad feel? What happens that made him do that? Nothing is said about how the father copes with the absence of his younger son. After the boy returns, he states what might have been his worst fear all along, that he had died. How must the certain man have felt living with that possibility? Did he question the decision to let the boy go? Did he think about the money? When his son was home, safe and sound, there was no containing his joy. Was the father's delight in the boy only felt upon his return? Was it a newfound sense of relief, or just the opportunity to express a love for his son that he had had since the boy had been born and was given a name by his father? I realize that any answers to these questions are merely conjectures, but so are many of the other interpretations of this parable. Even Big Brother uses his imagination in coming up with conclusions and filling in the blanks about the details of what happened in the far country. But I do think there is some support to suggest that the story is more about the father. Here's the thing. This parable is part of a series of parables. It is one of three parables that Jesus uses to make a singular point. The first one is about the recovery mission to locate a lost sheep, and the other is about a woman turning the house upside down, cleaning, looking for one of her silver coins that had gone missing. If we see these other two stories as the lost sheep and the lost coin, well, it might make sense to talk about the lost or the prodigal son. But those two stories really seem to focus more on the seeking shepherd and the working woman. It is about how they will stop at nothing and how their efforts result in the joyous outcomes of their stories. It might not be as easy to see how the father influences the outcome of today's parable, but it would keep the three stories more closely in line with each other. Let's consider the love a certain man had for his son, both sons actually. Let's consider how his love is a current upon which the whole story flows. Imagine the father's perspective of the request for the inheritance to be divided and the son's plans to hit the open road. Apart from the projection and criticism with which the story is usually interpreted, let's imagine the father's love as being the current that sets the story afloat. He doesn't want his son to leave, but he loves him. His love hears this request with understanding the dreams of a young man longing for adventure, compelled by a vagabond spirit to go forth on his own quest. He knows his son was born for a journey, and go he must. He wanted to prepare him for the challenges beyond the home front, the struggles. He wanted to protect him from the dangers of flying solo. But how do you communicate such wisdom to a youngster already grown and gone in their own eyes? Experience tells the father that there's only one way his boy will learn these lessons. His love had to let him go, whether he wanted him to go or not. And the money? Well, from the father's perspective of love, the money and everything else he had already belonged to his sons, both of them. The boy might have been shocked. He may not have even realized why his request was granted. What did he think just happened as he started down the road toward his dreams? As full of self-confidence as surprise, He might have thought that his dad had fallen for the story, whatever it was. Maybe the old man believed me. But did he realize that he was actually setting sail on the current of his father's love? Upon arrival, the faraway land shined with a satisfying brightness. Things always sparkle when you're looking through the lens of adventure and a pocket full of cash. How could he have been so right? He had made the right decision, and he was made for life in the fast lane. Well, his money ran out. Adventure faded with it, as it usually does. Everybody in the faraway land was going places. Everybody except him. There was one thing after another. It was hard to fill a hungry stomach, much less an empty pocket. No food, no money, no dignity, no love. Nothing left but the sky, and it was looking kind of cloudy. How could he have come to this? And where could he go from there? He had seen a lot of things, and he was beginning to understand all of them. He was beginning to understand the warnings that his father had tried to give him. He was beginning to understand the far-off land. He knew what it was that was different about this place. There was no love here, not like his father's love. He was beginning to understand his life. He had cashed in what love he had ever had received. He was more hungry for love than he was for food. He thought he had learned a lot about life on his own. What he might not have understood was that he had arrived at his newfound understanding on the current of his father's love. That was a thing that had given him discernment about where he belonged and where he didn't. His hard places were being worn smooth by the current of love. Maybe he thought it was his good insight that had made him decide to try to go back home. Maybe he thought it was his humility. What was carrying him home was a stronger current than he could resist. An unfailing and steady current returning him to his one true source. There, broken and bruised, body and soul, stranded on the shores of a faraway land, he was just beginning to understand something about his father. He knew in his heart of hearts that his father was a compassionate man. He had seen it all of his life, kind and loving to his two sons, kind and loving to everybody in the community, whoever they were, regardless of their station in life. Something began to bubble up in him as he thought about life, about family, about what still flowed through him. Was that the current of love he was feeling? He seemed to feel that he could trust that flowing current to rescue him now. This current was a love that could lift him when he had wandered far from the peaceful shore, when he was sinking to rise no more. All he had to do was step into the flowing current of his father's love. It was a love that encircled him and would lift him and carry him back home. He thought he understood it all now. He understood how he had really messed things up, how he had betrayed his name, how he didn't deserve to be called his father's son. He thought he finally understood his father. He thought he could trust a love like his father's to pick up where they had left off. He was sure that his father would love him once again, not as a son, then at least he would have compassion to open the door and take him back in as a servant. It was just who his father was. He thought he finally understood a love that would be open to giving somebody a second chance. How surprised he must have been by the embrace of the love that was awaiting him. Before any confession, before any apology, before any retribution, certainly before any I told you so's from his father. Now he understood. His father's love for him wasn't about starting over. It was a love that had never stopped. In fact, it was the current of his father's love that had carried him through the rapids of his own wandering around many bends that seemed to go in so many wrong directions. It was his father's love that cast him ashore when he needed a place to heal and come to himself. It was a love that had never stopped flowing. All he had needed to do was step into the ever-flowing current of his father's love, and it had taken him back to where he truly belonged. This is a parable. It could be about anybody, anywhere. It could be about us. Mostly it's about God and God's love for us, all of us. About how God's love never ceases to flow toward us wherever we choose to go and lift us from wherever we might lay bruised and broken. All we have to do is step into the ever-flowing current of God's love and know it will take us home to the place where we are and have always been loved. Amen.